Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Welcome to episode number 128 of the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media, and presented to you by our friends over at SeatGeek. And time to check in on one of our walking wounded. Seems to be a few of those around here at the Rose Rotation. Trevor May of the New York Mets. Let's start with your camera, which is apparently ill. You are my most technically savvy person around here, and you're holding a phone. What's going on?
Yeah, it's a mess over here, man. It's just a nightmare. This is just, my whole setup is all over the place. And I've had a bunch of mini USB cables that I use to charge my camera. I've had a bunch of them just die on me, so I have one that works really well that maintains connection. And that's how I charge my keyboards, my mice, my like everything. So everything's getting plugged into it. If I don't plug it back into the camera and use the camera at some point, it just dies. And then so like that's what happened. It wasn't plugged in, so I had to plug it in now. It needs just like that one time when it died in the middle. It needs like a 15-minute catch up, and then it'll stay ahead of the charge, but. So that was a nice little surprise when I got home.
So wait, are you holding your phone right now?
Yeah, 100%.
You're going to make my arm tired if this is what we're going to do.
I'm propping it on the desk. We're good. There's stuff everywhere. I have nowhere to put it. Or you're going to look up my nostrils. So I'll just hold it.
That's fine. As long as it's not your pitching arm. That's all I care about.
No, it's not my pitching. No, I wouldn't do that.
I did see you throwing the other day.
Going really well, like better than like I don't usually get velos and stuff when playing catch, but like it's better than normal in terms of strength and just ease of motion and stuff. So I'm definitely really, really happy with all the work and progress me and the rehab team have done. So it's like I'm really excited. I'm really, really excited to see how this translates.
Okay, so you know, we're here in the second week of July, and I don't want you to put a date, a timestamp on anything, but what are the next steps for you to get back to being a big league ball player?
I have thrown two bullpens actually. So threw one yesterday. And so the next one that I've been doing really isolated stuff, my off seed for the last 4 days. So we have a bullpen on Friday. That's going to be 20 pitches, I think. So, which is a normal length bullpen, or like at least the lower end of the 20 to 30 is a normal pen for me. And phasing in off speed stuff and starting to move it in and out of the zone. And then another one, three. So it's like 2 days off pen, 2 days off pen. The next one will be 25 pitches, which I will then throw a simulated hitter with off speed pitches. And the next one's going to be 30 pitches, maybe 35, because we've had up downs quite a bit this year. And that's probably going to be something that I'm going to be called on to do when I get back. Something I didn't do at all last year. Just kind of a little bit. Buck likes to have that card in his deck. So I want to be prepared for that just in case. So stretching it out a little bit there. And then live VPs right at the All-Star break, of course, because why would I get an All-Star break? And so like the day before and then the last day of the All-Star break are to be throwing to hitters, probably in Florida would be my guess, because everyone else on the planet is off except for the guys down at the complex. And then rehab after that, appearances for a week or two. So it could be last week of this month, maybe the last couple of days of this month, at the earliest, and then maybe the first 3 days of August at the latest back. So 3 weeks away, probably three and change.
Great. You mentioned up downs. What's that for our audience?
So like if I came in the middle of an inning or something, or like to get the last out of an inning, go sit and then come back out for the next inning. So throw one plus innings or maybe even two. We haven't really been throwing guys who aren't stretched out two innings, but some guys like Drew Smith, for example, Ottavino have come out for one and a third, and Seth Lugo has been able to do that in his career too. So we have a bunch of those guys who can go get an out or two, go back out, or vice versa, go throw a clean inning, then go back out for one out in the next inning and someone else comes in, things like that. And I think it's important because Buck likes to be able to use us like that. And it's something I haven't done since I was with Minnesota. So like last year was on, there's data to show that I'm much better pitching back to back or back-to-back-to-back than multi-innings in an outing for some reason. So they would rather me use me in that way last year. That was kind of on. They didn't tell me that until like September 15th. But by the way, I don't know if you noticed, but we've never thrown you up downs because we like to have you every day. So, we'll see. I mean, I didn't really have time to get into it because things weren't really, I never really got my feet under me at the beginning.
So when you inevitably go down to Florida or somewhere else and you'll have a minor league rehab assignment somewhere, I'm sure you paid attention to the bill that Scherzer picked up. Did you not?
I did.
There's a lot of pressure on big leaguers who come down. And
are they going to get, I don't know if you knew this, but Max Scherzer is making $53.3 million this year. So we're different. We are in different places. I didn't even know about the deferred payment until the other day. And I was like, wait, so just put that on top. He's like, yeah, just put it on top. I was like, that's awesome. That's so awesome. What a great day. Like, it's a pretty good day. But AirPods, going to get AirPods, guys. I wouldn't bank on it, but you're going to get some really good food. And I'm historically, I buy lots of meals for teams. I've been on some rehab assignments and so we're going to eat good one there for sure.
Well, how do you do that? Do you you tell the clubby, hey, I'd like to get a spread from where
options, and you basically ask and be like, okay, because they usually have like an idea of like tiers of like places that they have a contact there or something that can do it quickly or somewhere that they've eaten before, yeah. Had before, and then you say, okay, but what about this place? And then they look into it for you, and I mean, the places like Binghamton and stuff like kind of have two choices or maybe one. But I'll be, if I'm in Florida, there'll be tons of places. So, it'll be good. And in Syracuse, cause I'm assuming I'm anticipating going to Syracuse, which I kind of want to go to Binghamton because all three of the coaching staff guys there I played with at some point in my career, that would have been cool.
Really?
But yes, Tommy Joseph played with me. He's a hitting coach and he was a year younger than me. And he's like, we played all the way up. And then Reed Briniac and Jerome Williams.
No there. Shit. So, those guys
were Phillies guys. Yeah. They're the three guys, the pitching coach, hitting coach, and manager, which is awesome. But anyway, Syracuse, I know some good spots in Syracuse. I have friends in Syracuse. So I might be able to actually think outside the box a little bit for that one. That might be fun.
I like that. Okay. That's nice. Do you because the first part of the year did not go the way you wanted, and you physically were not feeling well. Do you feel like you need to earn back the trust of the fans? Is that a weird question?
That's not a weird question. That is a very, very on point question, especially in New York City, especially with the team that's leaving the division that has the Braves doing what the Braves are doing. And, you know, everyone's looking in the rearview mirror already in July and, you know, seen this movie before and all that stuff. So, yeah, there is a little bit of added to that, but I don't think that ever goes away, man. I think it's just someone asked me about it. I think one of the media members asked me about, like, what role do you anticipate coming back in? I'm like, I'm going to come back in the, you call my name, I'm ready. If it's in the third inning role. And if things are going really well and all these guys who've kind of Drew Smith and Otto and Seth and Joely, all these guys who are kind of stepping up, and really locking down the end of games. I'm not trying to, like, I just want to be another option to take some of the pressure off that, right? So you don't have to do it every day. I think that, and historically, that mindset for me coming back from things like this has worked, and just kind of work your way into a role of value so that, and just do your job every day. It's just not about doing your job. I go in and if we're up by a run, I can't give up a run. That's my job that day. If we go up and we're up by five, I need to not go out there and throw 30 pitches and make it, make the guys stand out there. That's my job that day. And obviously hold the lead, but like, you know, it's kind of hard to give up five and stay in there the whole time. So your job changes slightly. You're down one, you come in the seventh, you're down a run, keep it at a run. That's your job that day. So like, that's how I'm thinking about it. And it's not about holds and, you know, I'm a free agent at this. None of that matters. It really doesn't. It's just about, if I feel good, I know what me feeling good looks like, mm-hmm. and I know how that translates into winning. And that's what I want to do. And I just want to feel good, and I want to enjoy myself And I want to have fun playing with this group of guys, because that's the thing I miss the most, is just being a part of this team so far.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm curious about what it's been like for you to watch this many games from home. I mean, one of the things about you is you're extremely durable. I know you missed an entire season because of Tommy John, but when you miss an entire season, that's different than when you know you're coming back to help a squad. What has it been like when the team's been on the West Coast and you're sitting up at 12:30 at night rooting as a fan?
It's weird, but it's also like, I like, you know, that's where my love for baseball started. So cheering the guys on from there, and just like trying to go along the game and know what they're thinking and knowing them personally, know what they're going to, like, I do that with pitchers. I'm like, okay, he's going to go with hits now. I know what he sees here. And like with Max, Max is fun as hell to guess what he's going to throw. It's really hard to do. But once you get going with him, then you start to figure out his plan. That's fun. So I try to play the game along with him. But it's really hard, man. It's really, really, really hard to be in the dugout while it's happening. Like being in, getting the atmosphere, getting adrenaline going, and just knowing that you there's nothing you can do. I hate it. So I had so much trouble when I, especially what you said with Tommy John, so much trouble going to the game. I had, it was awful, because when something's broken, I need something actionable to fix it. And my rehab is all I could do. So I'd be done at rehab at 2, and I'd be like, now I'm just going to go be like just a waste of space for the rest of the day. And that sucked. So I always have to grapple with that. And it's been tough too, because this was longer than usual. But now that we're closer, now I know, like, I have a bullpen in 2 days, so I can go take some stuff there with me. Like, it's different now. So like now it's no problem. But the very beginning, when I wasn't even throwing, I was like, this is awful. It's just, it just brought me down.
I get it. Not sure if you saw the news about your teammate, Pete Alonso, the 2-time defending home run derby champion. Remember, he won it 2019 in Cleveland, then we didn't have one. And then he won it last year out in Colorado. He said he will participate, but only if he is voted in as a starter. He went on Carton and Robert's radio show.
Great place to go do it too. Put out an ultimatum, Pete. I love it.
It is him and Goldie as the two finalists. So, I mean, Paul Goldschmidt's arguably been the MVP of the National League this year. So there's no harm in
this year.
Do you think Pete's going to end up going and defending his crown if he doesn't make it as a starter?
Probably.
Yeah. He's built for it. There's ever been a guy built for it. They created the home run derby for Pete Alonso.
Yeah. Trust me. He's very, very proud of his ability to thrive in that. That's just built for him. So, yeah, he's probably going to do it. But I love leveraging, because he's having a really great –
great year.
He might be the second most productive hitter in the league. So, like, they're the two best hitters, or at least in terms of production, in the league right now, with driving guys in and hitting homers. So, like, I don't think you can go wrong. But obviously, my teammate, I want him to go and I want him to start. But I also want him to win the home run derby again. I want him to just keep winning it until I want him to do like the Joey Chestnut thing. Just keep winning it until someone straight up beats you.
Can you watch Joey Chestnut, by the way?
I can't.
I can't do it either.
He looks like he is in so much pain. But he's just the look on his face is like, no, I'm Joey Chestnut. You have to beat me. I can't stop doing this. This is who I am. Good luck. But he's just like, at the end, he's just like, it's gross.
He ate 63 hot dogs. How many years of hot dog consumption would that be for you?
That might be my whole life. I haven't eaten hot dogs like in earnest since I was like 14. So I don't know. Like, hot dogs are literally never the option. Well, maybe the minors. I ate quite a few hot dogs, but 63 might be the most I've ever eaten. All of them aggregate together.
I can't even watch. I can't. Rob's putting it up on the screen because he knows how much I cannot stand it. And he is laughing behind his Freddie Mercury mustache right now. By the way, Rob, just pop on so you can show Trevor your Freddie Mercury mustache. What do you think?
Thank you, Trev.
Incredible. I thought about keeping mine for a minute, but then my wife would leave me, so I decided not to.
Yeah, my wife said, it's a look.
That's all she keeps saying. Yeah. It's a look.
Yeah, that exists. Well, you got a little bit down here too. So
a little bit. I keep shaving it, that off though.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's probably worse than then, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty terrible, but it's fun.
You got great wit, though. I'll be honest. That goes way out there.
Right? I'm going to
You start... and Spencer Strider, man. Good mustache.
I'm going to start curling it. I got some wax, and I bought a Love little it. Comb, too, to kind of get it all in there. So I'm excited.
By the way, Rob, just like Spencer Strider, throws 102 as well if you add up his two pitches together.
Nice. Three pitches.
Three pitches, yeah. Sorry. Okay, that's enough, Robbie. We'll see you later. Yeah, I'm keeping my beard because my wife likes it. Although she said, you're not allowed to dye it this time. So now I look like I'm 90. It's really a bummer.
I'll be honest. If I grew, I let my goatee, I only get goatee. I get patches is missing on the sides, but this comes in pretty Frothy. Thick. And I'm getting the white long hair. I have tons of white in my hair now. Yeah, tons.
No, you don't.
Which I love. Yeah, I love it.
Let's
I
see.
But it is lots of sparkles.
Oh, you do?
Quite a bit. Yeah. I do like the hair. I like the salt and pepper. I'm 32.
Well, that's John Boy's age, and he is like completely gray.
Yeah. So it happens, man. You lose your I'd rather lose the color than the hair itself so much. I mean, I'm a little lighter on top too, but I'll take a little change of color over like my dad. My dad's bald, just bald. So
really,
my whole family is actually everyone but me.
You come from a family of baldness?
My dad's side of the family, he is one of five boys and they are all bald. Wow. And my brother has shaves his head down. He got power alleys when he's like 19. He was like, nope. And he straight shaved from there. He's not near as bad as my dad. He like kind of got to a point, kind of stopped. It's definitely thin though. And he's just like, I'm not dealing with it.
I love the power alleys.
Hello, baseball fans. It's time to step up to the plate with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. New customers can bet just $5 on any game and get $150 in free bets no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn another small bet into a big payday this baseball season? With DraftKings same-game parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets like which team will win, total runs, extra innings, and more. And boom, you have a shot at an even bigger payout. Let's see, we got tonight, Marlins are taking on the Mets. Miggy Rowe, two hits. Trevor Williams goes five innings. Marlins win by the run line, whatever that is. Right now, if your same game parlay doesn't hit, you could get a free bet back to up to $10. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code ROSE, and new customers can make any $5 MLB bet and get $150 in free bets no matter what. That's promo code ROSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. MLB trademarks used with permission. Now back to the show.
You're such a thoughtful guy. Basically, all of the co-hosts that we have in this rotation. I was curious if you saw Mark Canna's tweet prior to Pride Day at Citi Field.
I talked to him about it the other day.
What'd you say to him?
I told him that I really appreciated it because there's not a lot of people that would do that.
And by the way, real quickly, for people that are joining us audio only or aren't familiar with the story, the tweet was, how many of my beautiful LGBTQ+ people are coming to Mets Pride Night tomorrow? And by the way, this is not a political thing. This is a human thing. And I think it's important to talk about because so few professional athletes do take a proactive search. So continue on. I apologize for interrupting you.
I told him that, you know, a lot of those conversations happen in a very minimal way when you're playing a lot of times, because frankly, playing a professional sport, it's your whole life. It's just all the time. And you want to try to avoid adding just more mental anguish and like gymnastics and arguments and just, you don't want to put a target on yourself, no matter how big, like you want to minimize putting targets. You want to pick and choose your spots. But there's just some stuff that just like I feel personally, and this is, you know, get a little bit real here, I feel a little bit shame for not taking a more of a stance myself. And so I really, really appreciated and commended him, because it's just not a pop. It's just not a thing that, especially social media, doing it on social media, you're just going to get all the anonymous people who just can do whatever they want and think there's no consequences, going to be mean and just horrible and try to get to you and try to get in your skin. But he's just like, it's just important to let groups of people that don't feel comfortable and haven't, and a lot of times don't feel comfortable in their own skin, in their own house, know that they are welcome where we do our thing by us. Mm-hmm. And that's very powerful. Even if there's lots of people that would push against that, or, you know, give reasons for why it's bad or why they don't support it or whatever. At the end of the day, he says, hey, if this is the way, if you identify as part of this group, I would love it to have you at a baseball game, because we appreciate you for who you are, and go be who you are and watch baseball, because it doesn't matter. And so I like that. I think that applies to everybody, but specifically, you know, we're entertainers. We get on front of the field. We want to evoke, like I've talked about this a lot, we want to evoke emotions. We want to have fun. We want to get hopeful, and we want some people to get crushed and some people to get, oh my God, it actually happened. And that is the roller coaster that is watching baseball. We want every single person on the planet to be able to have that experience and feel like that's somewhere they can be, and that they're not going to be something irrelevant to watching a baseball game is going to be held against them in order for no reason. So that's just all it is. It's just like, hey, you're here. We love it. Now let's watch the baseball. Like, that's the point. And I liked it. And I liked that he just, knowing Mark now and talking to him quite a bit, he just is like, just the way it is. Deal with it. And I love it.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, although I'm not certainly as popular as you are on social media, there's times where I sit there and I struggle with it as well, because there's a lot of thoughts I have about it. And it's the balance of taking a stand for what you believe is right, as opposed to the anguish you'll feel when you just get bombarded by people who don't see the world the way you do.
Yeah.
And I think that's it's a difficult thing. Like, I should just say, fuck, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. At the end of the day,
but it's just not that easy. We're human, right? We don't want everyone coming at us either. Just like they don't want everyone coming at them. Like, that's, so you're showing support that, and then you are now getting that same kind of vitriol, and that's scary. That takes courage, and that can take away from your ability to play. And so you have to balance it as best you can. But at the end of the day, man, it can't just be all anger and fear all the time, man. You can't be scared of everything. You just can't. There's so much of just, we're afraid of, like, everyone's afraid. No, we're just not taking care of each other, and you just got to take care of each other. Right. And we should all be just going for contentment and happiness. Why do we have to be so angry about things that aren't us?
If you could just do me a favor and just tell Mark Canha that I was proud of him and that we talked about it. I know Mark just a little bit from having interviewed him. I would love to have him on this show. I just think he's a really interesting guy.
Thoughtful was the right way to put it. I love that characterization. He's a very thoughtful guy.
Yep. He is. Been thinking about you. Did you guys get a new cat?
I hate to break it to you, but there's two of them, Chris.
Two? Who's that?
That's Marmalade.
Hi, Marmalade.
That's Toasty.
Toasty?
Toasty and Marmalade. Look at that face.
Oh my gosh. Well, welcome to the family.
They are Scottish Folds. And they are technically half brother and sister, but they're best friends. We were getting Marmalade, and then the people who we were getting him from said, he has a best friend if you're interested. And then I was like, show us a picture. And as soon as they showed her a picture of her, I was like, oh, yeah. But she is so loud. She's the loudest meower ever. It's crazy how much she meows. Just idly, just sitting by herself, just meow, 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 just said nothing. So he never meows. He's got a horrifying meow when he does. He looks like a velociraptor, and it's super high pitched. His mouth opens just way too big. And you're like, dude, no, it's like Pet Sematary stuff. I'm afraid he's going to eat me. But, and then Elsie, our oldest cat, has slowly and surely taken to him. I actually put Marmalade on her side today where he was leaning against her, and she just fine. So that was the first contact we did. That was this morning. So things have been good. They're great though. They're out here right now because they like hanging out with me, which is, I love.
Ah, so the adjustment has been good.
Oh, there's so much. Donnie was very, very at the older cat, and they play with each other, and they let her dictate everything, which is a really good situation. And they play with each other, which is huge. If you're getting a kitten, make sure you have someone to play with that kitten. Preferably another kitten.
Right. I love that. It's very good. Very, very good. I'm happy to see that the household expanding. That's good. So you won't be going anywhere for the All-Star break. That's a bummer. You just have to go.
We weren't probably going to go anywhere anyways. No. I think my wife might actually go home for a few days. I'll be in Florida. So mid July in Florida, I heard it's the best time, you know,
it is
for humidity and breathing and heat. It's good.
Are you a sweater?
So I used to bring a personal fan with me when I was in the Florida State League to each away cities and plug it in at the end of the dugout so I could stop sweating between innings.
You played in the Florida State League?
For twice.
Twice.
2010 made the All-Star team, got sent down the next week, won a Sally League championship that year. Next year went back up to the Florida State League and stayed there all season and set the Clearwater Threshers record for strikeouts in a season that will never be broken, because anyone who gets anywhere close to there will be sent up at some point. It's pretty hard to punch out 210 in a season in the minors and be there the whole year.
Oh my God.
They just simply don't do that anymore, Chris.
Guys, no, they don't.
Are getting rocketed up.
Elevator up, as we like to say.
Yeah.
Elevator up. Yeah. Uncle Stevie bought a new pitching machine that can simulate any pitcher's delivery. You've seen this thing, right? Mm-hmm. Well,
we're so screwed.
Why are you reacting like that, by the way?
I mean, I'm a big guy's come up to hit. The plate just opens and they hit off the tee. Why don't we just get rid of pitchers? I don't know. No, it's good. Actually, McCann gave me a good breakdown of it. He said it's cool because it changes slots and stuff. The only person in the league it can't do is Tyler Rogers, which is hilarious. Probably the guy they need it the most for. And it can't go that low. But it can go all the way down, like, under sidearm, which is crazy. Like, they can get to C-Shack almost. And but the problem is it's still coming out of a hole. So, like, what you see like hand position. Most guys see hand position. So you still don't get hand position. So it's hard to like react the same way, but you can see the shape. It gets the shape of their pitches really, really well. Like the median. So like James is like, I like it for catching. Right. So like, if we get a new guy, I'll go in there and like put him in it. Like if we trade for someone at the deadline or whatever, I can actually catch them before I catch them, which would be interesting. He goes, and you can, like, Josh Hader, for example, you can see what his fastball looks like, and you can see what his slider looks like. So you can see the spin, see how the shape of it, like, and you can go and you can stand, you can track. And then Jeff McNeil just loves hitting it. He just loves hitting everything. So he's in there all just hitting and hitting and hitting. Like, it's weird because I told Pete and Jeff, guys, when we get this thing, pump the brakes. You're going to want to be there all day because they just hold their bat and walk around all day. I'm like, just. When you DH, don't go up there and hit all the relievers all day because you're going to get tired. But it's definitely a cool piece of machinery. But it's scary seeing all this technology for hitters coming out. Things we got to combat as pitchers. We got to figure out a way to trick them still. I don't know how to do it anymore.
Really, this is the first thing that they've had to combat you guys because there's been so much.
True.
So much. True. That has favored the pitcher in terms of development.
Just the game kind of just favors pitchers in general, the way it's played. Our failure is different than their failure. They fail all the time. We fail a little bit less, but it's so much worse.
Right. Well, so have you set it for the Trevor May delivery?
I haven't actually seen myself pitch on it, no, but I have sat in there and watched him. I think Alcantara go and then Trevor Rogers back-to-back days, which are very different deliveries.
Yeah.
So watching the Alcantara like 99s off of pitching machine is pretty funny.
What you ought to do is stand in there against Trevor May.
I should. Just give you a little perspective for sure. Wow, how's anyone hit this?
Actually, he's so handsome, I just can't get past the visual. That's it.
Yeah.
By the way, so DeGrom has started his rehab assignments and they're hopeful that he'll be back within the month. Don't you feel terribly for these kids that are like 19 years old? And here's Jacob DeGrom, 101. Here, have some of this, kid. Or do you think it's kind of cool for them?
He's had so many rehab starts in the last 2 years, and like he literally strikes out like 8 and 3 innings every time. He literally struck out like 90% of the hitters he's faced in rehab in his last 3 years, which is like what he's like. Well, I think I'm okay. I think I'm good. There's no way to tell if these guys aren't good enough to tell me. It's like, yeah, I feel bad. And then I'm reading an article. I'm seeing the articles pop up on Twitter and stuff. They're like, and then he got him with a cutter. I'm like, he didn't throw a cutter, man. That's a 93 mile an hour slider. That thing spins like a bullet, and it's 93. It's not a cutter. They just, and they're swinging out as hard as they can, just trying to foul stuff off, and he's just cutting them up. I feel bad. But in terms of the 101, I mean, there's a guy in, I cannot remember the life of his name, in Syracuse that throws 101 for us. And he's like the 8th hardest thrower in the minors. I'm like, what? Where? What year? What's happening? So I'm going to go to Syracuse and let's just say I'm feeling great. I'm 6-8. I'm going to be like the 5th hardest thrower in the bullpen. So I just kind of toss that out of the window. I don't throw hard anymore. I throw above average.
I know. That's so weird. What do you throw? 97?
My average fastball for the last year has been 96.5. It's like 92nd percentile or something.
Average. That's incredible. It really is.
Yeah.
I don't know when it's going to stop either.
I think 100's like the kind of the threshold for humans, which is so interesting that it just happens to be 100, like around 100. Like it could have been 107, but it's 100. I don't know. That's a weird coincidence to me that we happen to measure a mile in a certain way, and then it happens to translate into how hard someone could throw a baseball that's 5 ounces at exactly 100 miles an hour. That's kind of the limit. That's just weird to me. I don't know. To order. So
reverse this. When you were pitching in the minors, not on a rehab assignment, but you were a minor leaguer trying to get to the majors, was there a guy that was on a rehab assignment as a hitter who stepped in the batter's box? You're like, oh, this is awesome.
Facing Carlos Guillen was really, really, really hilarious to me because I watched him play for so long with the Mariners. Yes. And you know what's funny? That day I faced Carlos Guillen with the Tigers, you know who started for them pitching in the same rehab game? This was in Lakeland. Who do you think, what Mariners pitcher around the same age?
Yeah. I know exactly who it was. Right-hander. It wasn't Freddy Garcia.
Freddy Garcia started for the Lakeland Tigers, and Carlos Guillen started at short. And they were both like 38, both of them. And I was 20, and I was just like, this is amazing. And no one else like on my team was like, who? I'm like, they both play for the Mariners. Like, who? I was like, okay. That was really, really cool. Trying to think who else I would have faced. We had like Chad Durbin down, who I've talked to a bunch since, with us in Lakewood. And he pitched a playoff game and just absolutely got shelled. And we came back and won the game. And I remember he's like at the door, high-fiving everybody. He's like, I'm sorry. And he's like 36 and playing with a bunch of 20-year-olds and apologizing.
I love guys. They're funny, man. They're funny. All right. There's one other thing I want to get to before the wheel of moderately interesting things. And this comes from our intern, Sam, who is a huge Mets fan. He loves it when the Mets win because he knows he's going to get a "Let's go Mets" from Trevor May on Twitter. He wants to know how you come up with the emojis you do.
Anything that can represent that person at all. Some of them have been hard, like Drew Smith. I'm like, do cowboy boot, but that wouldn't really land. So I just do the hand drawing, Drew. Get it? And then, but like Otto's easy, it's the zero. Diorme's been interesting because he's a big gamer. People like he's really good at like MLB Show. Really good. Like,
wow.
Really, really good. And I wanted to controller with him, but then I did the juggling because he's got such good hands. So we're like, he's just one of those guys who's just like, he has weird talents. He's incredible at ping pong. He's the best ping pong player in our clubhouse. He's really good at MLB The Show. It's just like things like that. You just assume he's good. Like flipping water bottles. I'm like, I've assumed Guillorme is the best at flipping water bottles on their top. Like just by looking at him. He's, I think that's how he came up. He just grew up. He just doing little games and stuff with people. But he was tough, but like Pete was easy. Jeff's easy. Lindor is the unicorn because of the hair and it's always changing. It's curly and it's a mohawk. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense. Escobar is my favorite. It's the steak for Fogo.
For Fogo?
And can is just a can. See, like these are walkers, a dude walking.
Easy. Okay. Yeah.
Easy.
Anything for Buck?
No, we don't have anything but Buck. I should give. Buck needs one. I think Buck needs one. We have the bowl just for the whole bullpen. So, like, if the whole bullpen does their job, but no one like punches the side and was like especially nasty, but they all did a good job, we just do the whole bullpen together. And then Shug gets his own. He's got the trumpet, which obviously.
Good one. What, so, with Max, do you go one blue eye, one brown eye?
No, the angry face. You kidding me?
Oh, the angry face.
It's the pissed off, the red one. Easy. That one was easy too. Big drips, just a McGill's just a water drop. Big drip.
Oh.
That's what we call
him. Okay. Didn't know that. New categories on the Wheel of Moderately Interesting Things, and you get to debut it. So our new categories are Grade A, Crushing It, Mini Me, Giving Mood, Stranger Things. Here we go. Grade A. This will be easy for you. And I came up with this one because we just had Rowdy Tellez on the show, and he got me bad with a joke. I said, well, you can't be like a nerd with the name Rowdy Tellez. Like, you can't be splitting atoms and working in NASA. He's like, well, actually, I was brilliant in high school. I had a 4.4. I was going to be like a biochemical engineer or something ridiculous. I was like, what? He's like, no, I'm fucking with you, dude. So I want to know, what was your grade point in high school? But you were the valedictorian, so here we go.
It was perfect. I had a 4.0, but we didn't have weighted the same way. And you have to have perfect grades all the way through from freshman year. So I had straight A's for 4 years.
What class were you sweating it out the most in?
AP literature and English, literature and composition. So it was writing lots of essays. We wrote an essay a week for the whole year, which sucked. A lot of reading, a lot of writing. But I'm really interested in storytelling. I love storytelling, but I hate analytical writing because I get so, my ADD makes me get so caught up in format, like not using the same word too much, you know, like putting my sentences together to where I get so technical with it, very mathy, that it's just not very good. It's not good pro. Like, it's just boring to read. So like, that is something I struggle with. I get so stuck on it, it took me forever. So I really had to work hard. And fortunately I had a teacher that was like one of those guys that was like, if you can rewrite these things, if you'll do the work to get better, like I'll let you fix stuff until forever, as long as you're interested in getting better. So if he identified that the grade wasn't so hard to get, it was just you had to do, if you weren't very good at it, you had to work so hard, which is what I did. That was my weakest one. Math was my easiest one. Calculus was my easiest class.
I am going to venture a guess marketing that you will have the highest grade point average of anybody I have to ask that question to. I could be wrong, but I'm gonna guess that one.
So you're asking everyone what their grades are. Giolito's got to have. I bet you he was a dork. No, really?
Not at that school, he wasn't.
Oh yeah, good point.
Not at that school.
I mean, you know, people didn't go to Kelso, Washington either. You know what I mean? So no, I'm not going to disparage everyone from Kelso. We had great teachers. It's a really good school. We had a lot of people that are salutatorian with the Yale. So like, I'll take it. You know what I mean? She was going to a better school than me.
If you hadn't played baseball, would you have gone Ivy League?
I don't think so. Though I was pursued really heavily by Columbia to play baseball.
Oh.
But I was like, that's in New York City.
Yes, it is.
I don't want to move to New York City right now.
Yeah.
At 18, I was terrified to leave home. And now it all comes around. I live like a mile from Columbia.
Well, now you can pay for your therapy. Let's just put it that way.
There you go.
Well, I'm happy to hear that things are progressing well physically. Enjoy your time as a alum of the Florida State League. We'll send you a fan if you need that. And hopefully the next time we talk to you, you will be big leaguer Trevor May again.
Let's go, please.
I know.
Please.
It's always great having you on. Say hi to your family. And I'm happy about the two new cats. That's awesome.
Oh, well, thanks, brother. Always a pleasure.
Special shout out to our producer extraordinaire, the one and only Robbie Scirocco, our summer intern and diehard Mets fan, Sam Singer as well. That is Trevor May. I'm Chris Rose. We'll see you next time on the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.